5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
We are back. It is the midweek episode Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri, and we're presented by PPV.com. And Chris, June 27th, Friday night, Deontay Wilder is stepping back into the ring to fight Tyrell Herndon, and it's live streaming on PPV.com. Whoa. I will be in the live interactive chat. I am the official host of the live interactive chat on Friday, June 27th, when all of our friends will be in there. You can join if you want. I'll let you into the chat to watch Deontay Wilder, his last go of it, his last run. I've heard he had a bunch of surgeries. He's healthy. I heard he's knocking fools out in sparring. I know he wants a piece of Joshua. I know he wants a piece of some of these names at heavyweight. I know he hasn't looked good in some of his last fights, but when Deontay Wilder fights, we're going to want to see what he's going to do. Can he find it one last time and knock this dude out, Herndon? It's going down in Wichita, Kansas, and it's streaming live on PPV.com, as well as a full summer slate, Tank versus Roach, Pacquiao versus Barrios. We got, what's his name? Why do I always mess up this name? The rematch.
Gervonta Davis and Fedora.
So I always say Thurman. Zoo and Fundora. All on PPV.com. No, well,
Fundora and Zoo. Maybe do it that way. Fundora and Zoo.
Fundora Zoo. That's the right way because Fundora won the first fight. That fight will be on PPV.com as well as a slew of other fights. So join us for Deontay Wilder on June 27th. Do you think he has what it takes? Do you think he has one last hurrah? And that hurrah being maybe a Joshua fight?
I do. I think he goes out there, he knocks on Herndon, and then we're going to see him in the mix with Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury. And I'm here for it. I got
not
my
so much
popcorn.
Fury though.
I got my popcorn ready. I mean, Fury's saying he's not coming back. Fury's coming back.
But if Fury comes back, I don't want to see.
I don't want to see that fight. No, but I want to see the Joshua fight. But he might have to deal with Tyson and Joshua. You know, he might have to see what happens there before.
Step
back in. Right. That's what. Yeah, Josh Tyson.
Right. Joshua, according to Eddie Hearn, only has three more fights left. One this year. And then two next year, and then he's going to retire.
Two with Tyson, one with Wilder. Call it a career. I'm good.
Then do we have any complaints, really? That's the final button on this heavyweight generation.
No
this
more
era
complaints.
Of heavyweights.
Anthony Joshua actually, they all had awesome careers. So
they made a lot of money. They won titles. Even Deontay Wilder. How many heavyweights would sign up for a 5-year title run? 10 defenses.
Highlight reel knockouts. Like a whole slew of them.
Exciting fights at the Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. You highlight real knockouts, defenses, a legendary trilogy.
His career is great. But all three of those guys, fantastic careers.
Yeah, so we'll see if Wilder can turn back the hands of time. Join us in the chat. We'll have a fun night on Friday night. Wilder versus Herndon. That's the heavyweights. I want to start off this show talking about some news that we kind of touched on at the end of last show, and that is Canelo versus Crawford. Things are starting to get some stability. We're getting some stability in this situation where there was a lot of instability for the last couple of weeks. The fight almost fell through. I read an article from MMA Draw that this fight was in jeopardy. You know, Dana White was gently pushed out of the picture. There was a UFC problem with UFC Noche being now moved down to from a pay-per-view to a regular fight night. A lot of hurdles had to be moved around, but now it looks like Dana White, doesn't look like it's official. Canelo Crawford will be streaming live globally on Netflix to 300 million subscribers September 13th, Saturday, and it will be in Las Vegas, most likely at Allegiant Stadium. We got some stability, Chris. They're calling it the fight of the century. I don't know about all that, but it's a big fight. It's the biggest fight on the schedule, and it's going to be on Netflix. And this isn't Tyson versus Paul. This is this isn't a circus fight. This is a legitimate title fight. As legitimate as you think it could be.
Right.
Thoughts?
comparatively super legitimate compared to Mike Tyson, 58 years old, Jake Paul fight. But I mean, listen, this is going to be the most marketed, one of the most viewed, maybe the most viewed fight of all time because of this Netflix deal. I mean, it's huge for boxing. At least we have two actual world champions, world-class guys fighting each other. Granted, the three weight classes apart, which, you know, for us insiders is not the best. I've had people text me, oh man, the Canelo Crawford fight is going to be so good. I'm like, is it? I mean, I hope so, but but it's, you know, you got two older guys. What is Crawford, 37 come fight time?
I like to give 30, two ages for guys. He's 37, 38. Canelo is 34, 35.
I like that. Yeah, so you got two guys who are 35 plus-ish, and three-weight classes apart. I mean, we can't forget about that. Three-weight classes apart, they're fighting. So it's not ideal, but it's still two world-class guys, two guys who are some of the best that we've seen in our generation getting in the ring. And it's kind of a cool little fight the picture in your head, which I'm having trouble doing. Seeing them in the ring together in trunks, not standing against each other doing a face-off. Seeing them in the ring together wearing trunks is hard for me to literally put my brain, wrap my brain around that.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get a full push now. We're in June. The fight is now official. There's posters. There's everything that's official. And we're going to see how Dana White promotes his first boxing match. He seems very excited.
Oh, he's one of the best marketers. He's one of the best marketers in fight history.
So. Let's see. I'm open-minded to it. I'm open-minded to what Dana White can offer. It's something different. I already saw some pretty cool things where, like, Shaq and Tom Brady on a rooftop interviewing Canelo and Crawford, like doing a podcast. I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff. And if you're a hardcore fan, it might rub you the wrong way. You might be like, what the heck? Why do we have Shaq? Why do we have Tom Brady? Why do we have, like, these mainstream names promoting this fight? But I always say this, that, like, boxing needs these fights. Once a year, if not more, we need mainstream eyeballs on the sport. We need the Shaqs of the world. We need the celebrities, you know, Rick Ross liking one of our Instagram posts about Canelo versus Crawford. We're like, you need like that type of push once a year. So the sport doesn't completely vanish. So it's not just completely off of like the mainstream eyeballs. And I think that's what this is going to be. It's going to be Dana White, TKO Group, UFC cross promoting, WWE cross promoting. And I think that's good. I don't understand how it could be bad. I think this fight sells itself, but you can add a little extra juice to it with Dana White. It being on Netflix now is massive. Now, we talked about maybe massive. Being one of the most viewed fights ever. Like, I don't know. It's not going to touch like Ali, Rumble in the Jungle. It was like a billion people tuning into that. But like modern times, like it's not going to touch the 100 million plus that tuned in for Jake and Mike, even though that was looked like an exhibition more than a real fight. But I want to see if it goes near what we saw for Taylor Serrano, which is like the 70 million range. I want to see where because Netflix will come out with the numbers. I just think this being on Netflix, off pay-per-view, no additional charge, your basic Netflix subscription, you're going to be able to see two of the biggest names of this last generation fighting in a ring. I think it's huge. This is a big-time fight. It's now coming more and more into scope as we're a few months away.
I think the numbers are going to be crazy. I think it's going to be ridiculous. I think there's a lot of crossover appeal with these two, with the platform that it has, and now Dana White being the marketing genius that he is promoting this fight. And like you said, the rollout, they're starting early. It's going to be intense. It's going to build all the way through. It's going to be fun, actually, the rollout. It's not going to be what traditional boxing fans are used to, what guys really like. We're going to turn our nose up at it because we do that. But it's going to be a lot of fun on the way there, and I think the fight's going to do killer numbers.
Well, here's the thing, a little counterpoint to Dana White as the genius marketer. I agree. I mean, UFC speaks for itself, some of these big fights. But in recent times, the numbers are going down with UFC in terms of eyeballs on some of these fights. Like, I think the ticket sales are still strong. I think there's they have a superstar problem, or they have a popular fighter problem. But it's still Dana White, and he still knows what he's doing. And I think he's going to be re-energized to be a part of this event. And it's not like Dana he's going out there and he's promoting like a Merab, who I love, but he doesn't resonate with the casuals, doesn't resonate with the sports fans, or some of the guys that are now coming up in the UFC, these Eastern Europeans, these guys that are very hard to promote, crazy last names. And it's not like the yesteryear of George St. Pierre and all those guys, and easier to promote. I think Dana is going to be re-energized for this. And I also think look at the canvas that he has. Look at what he has. He has Canelo Alvarez, who is the most popular fighter in the world. And he has Terrence Crawford, who is an all-time great and is coming off of
big... And is probably the best fighter in the world. You know, like, well, arguably.
Yeah. So, like, Dana, if he's not energized for this, and if he can't do this, like, this isn't like some hole-in-the-wall UFC pay-per-view that Dana doesn't even, like, seem to show up to anymore for the press conferences. I think he's going to be really into this. Boxing was his first love. I'm remaining optimistic that this will be a good promotion, because up until now, it's been like the wheels were falling off of this thing.
Yeah, well, but I think you know, it started way too fast, and it was almost like a train that's lost control, and there was a lot of just things swirling around, and the cat was getting let out of the bag too early. So I think there was a big pump on the brakes. Like, whoa, guys, let's lay this out a little better before we unveil it to the world, because there's just way too many questions that we can't answer right now. And not so much that they didn't have the answers, but they just didn't want to give up the answers. So I think now, and that kind of happens. You see that with Turkey. He gets excited. He gets to Twitter. He gets to, you know, to speaking, and he starts throwing things out there. You can see Dana White being like, wait, hold on. Things are different over here. We can't do this like this. So I think that's what happened. I think it got pushed behind the curtain while it was still all rolling out. I don't think we're ever close to losing this thing. I think Dana was always going to be the guy. I think the brakes were just pumped so things could be a little more organized for the unveiling. Because that's one thing about Dana, man. Like you mentioned, yeah, the UFC numbers are dwindling lately, but could that be that Dana's not as forefront as he used to? Is it that he's kind of like put it on autopilot and he has other people doing things? But this, yes. He's going to be super excited for this. He was a boxing guy first. He says it all the time. He's been saying that since the very beginning. He was always a boxing fan. He just couldn't get his way into the sport. And he's been angling. He's been trying. He's been pushing and prodding. Now he has the opportunity to do it. So if you don't think he's going to swing for the goddamn fences, then I think you're crazy. I think he's going to go for it. They're going to throw so much money at this thing. It's going to be insane. Is it going to work? Who knows? But again, I think it's going to be really fun on the way there.
Someone that has zero stakes in it, I'm going to sit back and watch and take it all in. And so wait for Dana.
Well, no, you do have stakes in this, Dan. You're a member of the boxing community. Oh yeah, of course. But you're in the boxing community.
I am in the boxing community.
Very important member of the boxing community, growing every day.
Appreciate that, Chris.
But this is one of the issues that I think we have in our sport, is that we get these mega crossover fights, the Floyd Mayweather's versus Manny Pacquiao's, the Jake Paul's versus Mike Tyson's, the Canelo versus Crawford, and the whole world turns in. And they're never the best fights that can be made in our sport. It's always just a sideshow. Even Mayweather-Pacquiao was pretty much a sideshow. Like, it wasn't really a good fight. The fight was actually really not good at all. But it was a big letdown. It was a big letdown. The guys are too old. You get these guys who fight way too late. We had Crawford and Spence, something that we were like, got pushed back, and we finally get it, and the fight was like, ugh. You know,
at least that was like a one-sided beatdown. I'd rather see a one-sided master performance than like a fight that just crawls to the end.
Tom and Jerry. I love that Turkey called it a Tom and Jerry fight boxing match. I mean, that's hilarious. That's really awesome.
Just slanders. Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry did not deserve. They woke up. Tom and Jerry woke up that morning.
Oh, they're suing.
Twitter.
Tom and Jerry's legal team has already written a letter.
Warner Brothers, whoever owns that, are like, what the hell, man? What do we do? For those of you who don't know what the heck we're talking about, Turkey fired off two tweets over the last couple of days, one of which was about the undercard, which we'll get into in a second. And the other was him talking about how he doesn't want to see any more of these Tom and Jerry type of fights, which is basically running. I don't know if he was referring to Skull.
Chasing, running. I think both.
Probably referring to Skull. More or less Haney, more or less Ryan Garcia, who was injured and is somehow escaping criticism from that weekend. Canelo also escaping criticism for that weekend. Seems like most of the ire is on Devin Haney. I'm still arguing with people about Devin Haney to this day on Twitter. But Turkey
puts thoughts
out this,
about that. We'll talk about that after this, but yeah.
What
about the Devin Haney situation?
Okay. But yeah, Turkey puts out the tweet, no longer will I be supporting Tom and Jerry type fights where one fighter is running around the ring and the other is chasing him. We can no longer support these kind of fights with Riyadh in the ring. We want to support fighters who leave it all in the ring with heart and pride. And there was like a mixed reaction to that. You know, we've talked about this for since May 2nd. This has been a topic of boxing fans and boxing pundits. Is like running versus boxing. How do we approve it? Do we offer up penalties? Do referees get involved? Should promoters get involved? Should Turkey get involved? And I've always said the thing with Turkey is he listens to the criticisms. Mm-hmm. He made the pay-per-view shorter. He made them cheaper. He got rid of the ridiculous concerts. He listens. So he saw the backlash.
And he adjusts. He listens and he adjusts.
Exactly. And how he adjusts here, I'm really intrigued because it's not like some, all right, let's just get rid of that ridiculous concert or let's just shorten the pay-per-view. Very easy to do. Getting fighters to change their style or fight how you want to fight or see a fight or fight how I want to see a brawl. Not easy. How do you do that? Like the only way you could possibly do that is with money. Like I'm not paying you. Devin Haney, you're not getting paid. Ryan Garcia, you only threw 18 punches around. Sorry, you get half your guarantee. Could that be in contracts? Because that's the only bit of really hurt.
If they paid per punch, man, I'd be one of the highest paid fighters in the world.
thousand punches?
Yep. Okay. I'll do it.
I mean, how are we changing? Like, it's easy for him to say that and kind of placate to some people out there that want to see more action.
Very difficult to do, especially from a promoter matchmaker perspective. But I can say this, you know, obviously, like you said, money is the factor, right? And we talked about, he didn't throw enough punches or he didn't fight that hard. Penalize him. How about instead of penalizing the guys who don't do what you want, you reward the guys who do? So listen, we've always talked about this UFC model, right? Guess what UFC has? Performance bonuses. Fight of the night. Extra 150 grand. Bam. All right. Get guys to fight harder. That's a good way. An incentive. Incentivize them. Don't look to punish for not.
Give.
Yeah, instead of taking, give more. Okay? Maybe pay everybody a little bit less, and then, all right, whoever gets fight of the night, performance of the night, boom, you get an extra $200K. You get an extra $250,000 because we're not UFC. One.
And you can do
UFC.
That.
We're not doing 50 grand. I think it was 50 grand.
And they beg for it, too.
What is 50 grand? 50 grand those to a fighters, boxer?
Oh, man. Bro, those fighters that come out there and, like, say, Dana, I don't have health insurance. I really could use the 50K bonus. They're begging.
Begging, yeah.
How is that a good look? That's a bad look. If they give a quarter milli? And not MVP doesn't give a quarter million, but we give out bonuses, performance bonus.
Yeah, we
just gave it to a kid in Alexis Chaparro. Did you see this knockout? Tarver lost his mind.
Oh, I did. Yes. Yeah. I saw the Tarver reaction. That was great.
Yeah, I was next to him, and Tarver went nuts, knocked over all my drinks.
I was going to say, Tarver's a big guy, so when he gets animated, things the world moves.
He did like a full bouncer move where he clears out the room. To me, he got me good, and he knocked over all my drinks. But Alexis Chaparro.
How many drinks do you have on fight night? Jeez.
I had Celsius. Man. I had water. I had two waters.
Vodka.
A couple vodka sodas. It was early in the night, too. I wasn't that
gluten-free. Dan needs his vodka sodas and Celsius.
There's a lot of Celsius. That the MVP sponsored by them, so they just go around hand those suckers out. And I don't really
I've never had one. I've never had one of those. I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I don't need any meth in my life.
They work.
Yeah, so does meth, crystal meth. It works, but I don't need
it in my life.
First
time I drank one was live on the air a few months ago. Oof. And I was buzzing. But
that was 1,000 words, 1,000 words a fight, Dan. Yeah, not 1,000 punches.
I was speaking that night.
Spit.
Alexis Chaparro gets the win, and he gets the bonus. He lives right here in Queens. He's like a just upcoming. You know, he could use it. I saw him at the bar after. He was super excited to get the I think 10 grand. And
grand at that level is huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Bro, him and his girl were so happy, and I was like, wow, that's cool as fuck. Like he got the bonus and he went viral. You know, that's another thing too. You have a great performance, like you're gonna be seen and you're gonna have eyeballs on you. So maybe that will change things.
That was always something I said growing up, growing up in the sport and performing and fighting as I went through my career, and I tell young guys this too. I'm like, you know what kind of unique situation a fighter has? You can go out there and have the performance of your life, and whether it makes you rich or not, the next day you're famous. You're going to be, you have the opportunity to do something on any given night in a ring that will never be forgotten. And that's just such a powerful thing for these young guys to understand. It's not just about the money. It's not just about, you know, the belts. I always say that, you know, the things you want to have when you retire from a fight career is one, yes, you want to be world champion. Two, you want to make a lot of money, life-changing money. You want to have money when you retire. Three, you want to be healthy. You want to leave with your health. And then this little extra, those are the three that you really need. But the extra caveat is you had one, at least one legendary night that will never go away. And if you have those four things, there's nothing else you could ever ask for when it would a fight career. You got your belt, you got your money, you got your health, and you got a legend. You're now immortal. And so every fighter has that opportunity, as long as they get to a certain level, to be like that. And if guys think about that more, we're not going to have to worry about taking guys' purses for not performing. You're going to have the opposite. You're going to have more and more performance bonuses.
Well, I hope so, Chris, because that's a very great way to look at it. There's some guys out there that are getting paid so much that they, what was the money on your list? Number two?
Number two. Title was number one.
Okay, so that's almost become reversed these days. Yeah. The money that's being thrown around.
Absolutely. Yeah. For these new kids, it's money.
So the priorities are all mixed up now. And that's a big problem, is that they were getting a lot of money. And that's a big problem that Turkey, I'm sure he realizes it. I'm sure he sees it. Like, oh my God, I'm paying these guys all this money, and then now they're going in the ring and they're running around, they're dancing around. And that's not a good look for me. It ultimately falls on the fighter first, and it's ultimately going to fall on me because I have a lot of eyeballs on me now in this promotion. So, yeah, I'm curious how he'll go about changing that, because, you know, he didn't tweet that out for no reason. Like, when he tweets something out, it usually means something, and he's going to try really hard to make a change. And I'm very curious how he will make that change. All right, before we get to back to Dana and the Zuffa thing, and we're going to put a button on this conversation about the runners, and maybe you can give your point on Devin Haney that you teased. That's a nice radio thing. My guy, Najee, Cigar Talk. Love the guy. Does great work. Go follow him. He interviews a lot of fighters. He tweeted something out yesterday that I just had to respond to. Usually I wouldn't, but I didn't get personal. We were just having a good conversation. He said, what did he say exactly that was absolutely nuts? He says, if Ali was a boxer today, y'all boxing fans would say he's boring and a runner. This is wild. So he's trying to claim that people wouldn't appreciate Ali, kind of lightly insinuating that Ali moved a lot, didn't throw punches. And I was like, bro, come on. Number one, eye test. No. So I pulled up the CompuBox machine. And we actually have like 12 to 15 of Ali's fights in our database.
For nice. Books that,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
My dad wrote a book on Ali with Lee Groves, going through every one of his fights with stats. Ali, I went and looked, because I was like, how many punches did Ali throw? You know, because he did move. He did have the amazing footwork. Dude, 700, 800, over 1,000 punches thrown. I understand 15-round fights, some of them ended a lot earlier. He was throwing 60, 70 punches around. Dude, we're not seeing that today. We're barely seeing that at the lower weights. The problem with today is...
He was also high contact. He was also high contact. He threw combinations, and he got hit, especially in the later half, the later part of his career. He got hit a lot.
Of course, yeah.
So he was in a lot of wars. But at his best, I mean, he was so fluid. But also he threw combinations. No heavyweights throw combinations anymore. So the guy would throw four or five punches at a time, more so even. So that one fell really flat from Najee.
Yeah, I responded and you know, I hate it's called, you know what a ratio is on Twitter?
A ratio on Twitter? No, I don't know. I don't speak.
It's like he had his tweet, then I had my response, and my response got more likes than his initial tweet, which means that like I kind of won.
All right.
Because me and Najee, me and him were supposed to do we were going to do some type of debate show.
Mm-hmm.
Some things fell through. I mean, well,
that's a good debate right there.
But I feel like I get the better of him in a lot of these debates. Ali,
well, you're a numbers guy. You got a lot of numbers, which always helps.
Well, I don't know if I'd have the numbers like right there.
You'd have to commit them to memory, bro.
Yeah, I had to. I had the benefit of firing up the CompuBox machine. Yeah, but I went and looked. He threw a lot of punches. I mean, he. The problem with today's guys is you can move. There's no problem with moving. Like, you moved. And you also threw over 800 punches, 900,000. Ali moved through 700 plus as a heavyweight. We're using one example. Devin Haney moves those 200 punches.
Yeah.
That's 20 a round.
So running and boxing are two different things. And there's this always, there's this weird kind of, you know, overlapping idea of the two. It's like, oh, he's a runner. Like, no, he's a boxer. Like, people would say Floyd was a runner. The guy didn't move that much. Good. Granted, he didn't throw a lot of punches, but he didn't move that much. He stood in front of you.
Landed like 50% of his punches.
Correct. And he countered you and made you keep your hands in your pockets because you're so afraid to open up because he's going to crack you, can counter you. Anyone who always says that Mayweather's, as soon as you say that to me, oh, Mayweather's a runner, I immediately know that you don't know shit about boxing, and talking to you rationally is not going to happen today. Devin ran in the fight with Ramirez. And I'm going to defend him a little bit here. And this is what I was teasing earlier. And, wow. you brought me back, Dan. So Devin had a situation, a comeback fight, and it's not an easy fight. Ramirez is not an easy guy. Mikey Garcia came out and said, Devin's making a real mistake. He's coming back off of a fight where he got hurt a bunch of times against a puncher. You're not supposed to come back against a puncher. True. And also, Devin is going to suffer from a layoff much more than other fighters because of his style. He is a rhythm fighter. He's a boxer. He's a mover. He's a 12-round fighter. He needs rounds. He needs to be sharp. He needs to stay busy. His career is always busy. He fought in short intervals, much more to the shorter than other guys, because his team knew that he's a rhythm fighter. He needs to keep that rhythm. He needs to build off that. Him being out of the ring, him coming off the bad performance and getting hurt so much by Ryan, it was a really dangerous comeback. And to fight a guy like Ramirez who could really punch, it was a dangerous guy to come back. So for me, I saw that as Devin needed to find his rhythm, couldn't take any risks early on because Ramirez could change that fight at any time. And it was one of those, look, get the win, look good next time. Also, make more money next time because there's a $10, $12, $15 million fight waiting with the victory there. I don't think that's how Devin's going to fight from now on. I don't think that's the new Devin Haney. I just think that because of that situation with who he was fighting and what was on the horizon, he just fought extra cautious. And for him, extra cautious meant running and staying away. And listen, it worked. He got the win, but he's taking a lot of flack for it. But I do believe when he comes back, it's not going to be the same. He's not going to fight like that anymore. He never did. He never fought like that before. He's never going to fight like that again.
But no. Counterpoint. He's never fought like that before. I agree. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch all of his fights. Go back and watch the Lomachenko fight. Go back and watch the Kroger fight.
Lomachenko was in the pocket.
Stood in the pocket, traded, and that's all you can ask for. If you don't have huge power, you're not a knockout guy, stand and trade, give us some excitement. Haney did that. Never had allegations of being a runner. Had allegations of being kind of a jabber, jab, jab, clinch. Remember, he clinched Kambosos like 15 times in one round. He had that reputation, but he still had great wins and he still had great performances, and it wasn't like what we're hearing now. But coming off of the everything that happened with Ryan, mm-hmm. and suing him, getting knocked down 4 or 5 times, like his chin was, speaking of allegations, he did have some criticisms that he didn't have the best chin. Finally got chin checked against Ryan Garcia and went down a bunch of times. For him to come back after that year and put out that performance, that's why he's getting ripped. And that's why we don't know. Like, you say you don't think that's going to be the future Devin Haney. We have no idea. Like, he could do this for the next 10 fights and move around in there. And that could be the new him, because maybe he did get just severely damaged in that Ryan fight. That's the only thing. You're only good as your last performance. Right? You can only judge these guys in the last performances. I'm just wondering, like, is that it from Haney? Counterpoint, Chris. Devin Haney coming off of that Ryan Haney fight. Everything that happened, Ryan Haney. What the hell is that? Ryan Garcia fight. Everything that happened there gets knocked down a bunch of times. He gets his name changed to Ryan Haney. That's how bad he got beat. Everything goes wrong for him in the Garcia fight. He tries to sue him. There were allegations of him having a leaky chin, and those came true. And the first fight back, he's on his bike like I've never seen before.
Yeah.
He kind of deserves all the criticism.
Yeah.
He kind of deserves a lot of, like, is this what he's going to look like now for the rest of his career? You said that he's probably not going to fight like this. We don't know. We don't know until the next one. But until the next one, we're going to say, oh, the last time I saw him, He was facing a puncher, yes, but the guy was ripe for the taking. Ramirez was ripe, and I was talking to Tarver about this. I like to get other people's opinions, and he called the fight. He was like, man, Haney had a golden opportunity, and he just echoed a lot what we said, golden opportunity to silence the last year of chatter. You had a guy in there that was just stationary at times, and you chose to just move, survive, because you had a bigger payout. And Haney made a decision. He made a decision that night, and now he has to deal with it. I hope that he comes out and fights like he did against Lomachenko in those fights, because he was great in those fights.
Well,
I don't know, man.
I mean, with Turkey coming out and saying, I don't want any Tom and Jerry fights, I mean, that seemed like a shot directly at Haney. And it's, I mean, that's how I think a lot of people are taking it, like that. That's my point, is that, all right, you fought that way, you deserve all the criticism you're getting, but now you're going to make an adjustment. And I think he's going to, because not only I thought he was going to do it anyway, but now that Turkey's coming out and saying that, where people are literally looking at Devin as being the culprit of why, you know,
he's the poster boy.
He's the poster boy of this new idea that, listen, you got to stand and fight. So he understands what's going on. If he wants to continue doing business with Turkey and Riyadh, listen, he's going to change it up. But again, I think he was going to change up anyway. We've never seen him fight like that. I think it was just circumstantial because of where he was coming from a boxer's perspective and who he was fighting. It does make some sense in hindsight. Not the thing that I would do, not the thing that, you know, Antonio Tarver would do, but it's what Devin Haney did that night. And he's got more questions to answer moving forward.
He's the poster boy, not Canelo, who threw less punches. Not Skull, because who gives a damn about
who
Skull?
Gives a damn about Skull? We'll never see Skull again.
Not Ryan Garcia.
Again.
School, Skull, get out of here. And not Ryan Garcia, who comes
he
out
can't
of
knock injury. Ryan just shit the bed. He just didn't show up. He couldn't fight.
Well, he was injured.
He couldn't perform.
Can you believe that?
I don't know. Well, I mean, listen, I've gotten to fight with hand injuries too, but it was more than his hand that was injured. If that's the case, it was
brain, his psyche,
his soul was injured that night.
Well, another thing too with that is, right, Canelo's going to get the benefit of the doubt over Haney. Canelo's given us so many nights, knockouts. Ryan Garcia, to a lesser degree, is kind of known as a knockout guy. Haney, not. The year that he was coming off of, the suing, his dad. Like, there's so many factors, and here we are talking Devin Haney. But I understand it comes along with the Turkey tweet, and it all plays into it. And I'm curious to see if he'll fix it with money, because that's what Turkey seems to do. Throws money at big events, and the only way to really get the attention of these guys is to hit them where it hurts. Not a punch, not a body shot.
Not in the liver, not in the groin, in the bank account. That's how you enact change. That's how you enact change.
Yeah. Boxing, yes.
You know? Yeah, well,
I mean, especially with Turkey. He's like, I can give it and I can take it away just like that. You guys are getting 10 times your original purses. You want to go back to that? You better fight for me, damn it.
I had it in my career. Guys wanted me to fight. You know, promoters wanted, they wanted me. They wanted me to be a defense. They wanted me to go across the world. They wanted me to go this. I was just, all right, bring your checkbook. That can make everything happen. Just bring the checkbook. Mm. We are prize fighters at the end of the day. I had an ace in my pocket because I was always willing to fight anybody. So I didn't really need to hold out for money. I just did because I got smarter as my career went on. But because I was like, oh, you want to fight this guy? Yeah, I want to fight. I like to fight. I want to fight the toughest guys around. Later on, I realized like, whoa, if I hold out a little bit, I can actually get paid. So I got paid a lot more in the last portion of my career at the beginning for that reason.
You got to hold out. Nothing wrong with that. You got to be willing to walk away. That's one thing I learned about negotiation.
I learned that negotiating in Canal Street in high school when I was buying fake purses.
Made that trip to Manhattan with the girl?
Yeah, from buying my girlfriend's fake purses.
Plenty of those.
Always be okay to walk away. Always be okay to walk away at 15.
Just walk away and see what they come back and see what those guys will chase right after you to get those dollars. Especially see a white dude coming down the street. Mm-hmm. From Long Island.
Long Island, baby. From Long Island.
Long Island. So Dana White is involved now with this. Zuffa Boxing is back. And that might be the name. TKO Boxing is not going to be the name. It's probably going to be Zuffa Boxing. Zuffa is the parent company. They own the UFC. Started in 2001 with the Fertitta brothers. Zuffa is the name. And then you can go back to 2017. One of the first interviews I ever did in this game, this media game, was with Dana White, and he was wearing a Zuffa Boxing t-shirt, and it was the Mayweather-McGregor press conference. And I remember asking Dana White about Zuffa boxing, what he thinks Zuffa boxing could look like. It happens in 2017. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about dipping my toe into the boxing world. That was the answer that he gave me in 2017. Obviously, he started and stopped numerous times, just blew it all up. And now he's in it. And I'm hearing a lot of things that, you know, this boxing league, what, for lack of a better term, that's going forward. Like, I know some things that are happening behind the scenes production wise, and, you know, they're rallying troops, having people move out to Vegas, and that's happening. Like, this is the beginning. We heard about this, that this Canelo Crawford would be the official start of Zuffa boxing. It's here, and we're going to see how they handle this, and then to a lesser degree, put together their secondary programming, which is the league.
Yeah, and like we said, like the rollout for this fight is going to be, I think, very fun and cool, but also we're going to get more information on the league moving forward and what this thing's actually going to look like. Again, those preliminary reports that we had a few months back got everybody in uproar, but get ready for the uproar to happen again, because as we get more information leading into this league, there's going to be a lot of people on both sides. Oh, it's good for the sport. It's bad for the sport. It's this, it's that. But we'll be here to talk about it, and that's for damn sure. We'll get as much information as we can as we go. But more exciting times ahead of us in boxing, as always. Never sleeps. Dan and I just basically, we're down like 5 hours a night because we just have to wake up and be ready to get ready for the show. Yeah, just like, oh, what'd I miss?
It's been Zuffa boxing.
It's been 5 hours. Dana White, he's tweeting. So
Dana White's back.
Yeah, this is, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a fun 6 to 18 months seeing how all this all plays out. And then it'll be another fun 6 to 18 months and whatever.
All right. Another tweet
6 to 18 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be, all eyes are gonna be on it. And it's the biggest fight on the schedule. Is it Crawford and Canelo? It's got that. It's got the business aspect of it that we just went over. And also has an undercard that I believe is one of the most important undercards in recent times. This is Netflix we're talking about. Look what it did for Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Not that they needed any more juice.
For Mario Barrios.
Mario Barrios has a Pacquiao fight out of it. Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor have a third fight out of it and another fight on Netflix. It could do wonders. And that was 100 million people tuning in to watch Tyson and Paul. I think this will do under that, but it's still going to be huge. So who's going to be on this undercard? And Turkey tweets out, the world will be watching. I want to load the undercard with young, hungry fighters who deserve a chance to perform under the bright lights. Here are some of the names that I want to see. Junto Nakatani, if you're interested, please, you know how to find me. Christian Mabili, Muhammad Alakel, Rito Sutsumi, Justin Valoria, Emiliano Alvarado, Jamar Tali, Abdullah Mason, Nishant Dev. That's a list.
Interesting list. Mumbili, I get. You know, he's exciting. He's always in a good fight. Always brings it. Mm. You know, I from where he's coming from, especially in the tweet about the Tom and Jerry, you ain't got no Tom and Jerry performances from Mumbili. So I get that. Junto Nakatani, that's a no-brainer. The guy is one of the best young fighters in the world today. Absolute monster. Looked great last week. So Justin Valoria, I've called. He's only got 9 or 10 fights. I believe he's the nephew of Brian Valoria, the Hawaiian Punch, former multiple-time world champion, excellent, excellent fighter. The guy, that kid can fight. But, you know, a little young. He'd be a little fresh for the card, but still, I think he's going to be a can't-miss prospect coming up. He looks really, really good. Called him a few of his fights. Who else did you say on there, notably?
Junto.
Junto.
He didn't say Abdullah Mason, but I believe he wants him on there. That's who I want to see on there.
Who doesn't want to see Abdullah? He's a stud. Him and Doakes. He's fighting. Noakes.
Michael Doakes.
Michael Doakes. What do we have?
1985. Well, I heard that. Who's coming back? Ike Iabuchi is fighting this week.
The president, Ike Iabuchi.
52 years old.
Yikes. Bloodsport was a movie. I was talking about Michael Doakes.
Not a lot. Abdullah Mason, yeah, the name that comes to mind. Mabili, we've heard of Mabili, obviously, 168. Junto Nakatani, I would love to see him on this card. If maybe Nakatani has his first fight at 122, that could be a good appetizer to a Inoue fight. But the fight I want to see most on the Canelo Crawford undercard is Abdullah Mason. Put him in there in his title shot against Noakes. This is how you build a star. There's going to be the most eyeballs on this fight. People are going to say, wow, who is this guy? He's 21. He's in a, if he puts on a great performance, which he should, it's going to get even more momentum going. This is how you build a superstar. Top Rank should give it its full blessing. It's a no-brainer. Abdullah Mason in his next fight, his title shot, should be on the Canelo Crawford undercard.
Yes, absolutely. I want to see him with all these guys. Lightweight is such an interesting group of guys, young guys now, and Abdullah Mason fits right in there.
The weight class changed overnight.
Overnight, but I'm happy with it. It's fine. We got the next range of young studs, Murataya.
Yeah, we got to talk about him more. There's one guy on Twitter that just, oh man, just berates me to talk about Raymond Murataya. He's the new IBF champ.
Yeah, he's a new IBF champ. You know, with the exiting of Lomachenko, giving up that title. You got Abdullah Mason, who's a stud. We got Andy Cruz, who's fighting this weekend. Andy Cruz is awesome. I am really high on him. He fits in with these guys perfectly. So
he should have fought. In a perfect world, he would have fought Murataya for the IBF strap. They just elevated Murataya. He's fighting in a title IBF title eliminator this weekend.
I hate the elevation without fighting. But Murataya is a very good fighter. But I would have liked to have seen him fight somebody. Should have, like you said, it should have been made. A fight with him and Andy makes perfect sense.
God, that'd be a sweet fight.
It'd be a sick fight. Do you think it's more likely we see Abdullah and Murataya because they're on the same side of the street?
I mean, nothing would surprise me. Well, not next. Abdullah's fighting Noakes. That's pretty much set. That fight could slide right into the undercard in September. You know, he just fought last week. He's probably not going to fight till September anyway. Top Rank doesn't have a broadcast. They have a broadcast on. We just don't know who it is. And so none of these promoters are going to stop their fighters from fighting on this card.
I'm part of the broadcast team. I don't know who it is.
They're keeping it very under wraps. Like Top Rank has a plan. We just
very
don't
tight
know
to
what
the
it
chest.
Is.
Very tight to the chest.
Everyone wants to be on Netflix. I was just watched a clip from Andrew Marchand, who's like a media reporter, and he had this guy on. Like the NFL is on Netflix, but they're the only, and WWE, and like the NBA is trying really hard to get a package on Netflix. Every sport is dying to get there because that's the biggest streaming service. They have 300 million. That's more than every other streaming service out there.
Crazy.
And boxing is in, which is crazy because boxing is an event sport. Like they want events. They want NFL has the Christmas Day games. That's an event. Tyson Paul event. Boxing is an event sport. So mm-hmm. they can go through Netflix and shop and say, yeah, we'll take Crawford Canelo. We'll take Taylor Serrano. We don't want a fight night on a Friday. We don't want an undercard type level type of fight. That's fine.
Yeah, it's not a grassroots network. It's not what it's for. It's for massive events.
And that's great. Boxing, which has been discarded numerous times. How many networks has this sport been on in the last 10 years?
All of them.
Every single. And Canelo's, I was just thinking about this. Canelo's fought for literally, he might be in the running with you, Chris. Showtime, ESPN. I'm pretty sure Canelo fought on ESPN. I could be wrong there. Showtime. You had to have one fight on Friday Night Fights.
He might not have.
Okay, I don't know. That one's questionable. Showtime, DAZN, HBO, now Netflix. Is there any others for Canelo Alvarez? TV Azteca, obviously, over in Mexico. You hang around long enough, you'll find on every network. But Netflix is in the boxing business, and that's a great thing. This is huge. This could be a landmark night in terms of making new fans, bringing back some old fans, excitement. So the undercard is very important. I think Abdullah Mason has to be on it. I also think there needs to be like a bigger name than some of the names that Turkey put out there. But those are like, all those guys have some affiliation with him, I feel like, business-wise. And there's going to be a lot of slots. Like for the Tyson Paul, there was like a YouTube portion. There was like, I think there'll be like six fights, maybe seven total. So you could put some of those names that he mentioned on that. But I think like the co-main, if it's not Abdullah, it has to be like a bigger fight, like a Taylor Serrano level type of fight. And then that opens up all possibilities.
Yeah.
Long pause.
Long pause. Lot in thinking about. I mean, you didn't leave me open.
Thought
for
you
much.
Froze.
You didn't. No, you didn't leave me open for much on that.
Well, where I left you there was with that we need the co-main event. Abdullah Mason's great, but I think it has to be bigger than that. I think it has to be like a legit heavyweight fight or like a Teofimo level. I don't want him to get that spot. Like a big fight. A huge, like this is it. This is your huge introduction as TKO. Like this kind of you got to go big.
I'm thinking now who could really fill in that spot. You know,
and you don't have to worry about promotional clicks. I mean, what you have to worry about is timing and dates. Well,
it's interesting that Turkey brought up Mbili.
Because he can just be like, go to his promoter and say, hey, you're getting this, well, your rate. We'll give you your flat fee, and your guy's fighting on the biggest card of the year. And you don't have to worry about promotional problems. What you have to worry about is scheduling. It's like if a guy, we have to look for guys that have fought around now and are fighting maybe 3-4 weeks from now. That might be the cutoff. Unless
what
they
about
have
what about
blowouts.
Ben Eubank?
Eubank could be on this. Don't you think they want that in the same spot, though? I know what you're saying.
I do.
That's a big fight.
I do, but like it's a big fight that would be get a lot of. But is it no? Is it, the question there is has it gone beyond domestic level? Is it world renowned enough that you could put it on the undercard of that? Because listen, I think Eubank, if Eubank beats Ben again, which he probably will, I think he gets a Canelo fight in the next year.
I was just looking at a video of Eubank in the gym. He was hanging out with Abdullah Mason.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Eubank's in Vegas. He's in Vegas. He's getting a Canelo fight, 100%. Take it to the bank.
You froze. I lost you. What'd you say?
I said he's getting the Canelo fight. You could take it to the bank. What the fuck is this noise?
I said that. I've been saying that. The Canelo Alvarez Chris Eubank fight is going to happen. I think it would be cool if Canelo went to Wembley to do the fight. It's kind of like a send off tour to go fight those guys over there. But that fight happens. But do we want to see Mbili Canelo? Because it's that could be another fight that we've talked about. That's another fight that I think could happen. So if you put him on the undercard, you know, as the co-main, trying to set up that Canelo and Mbili fight down the line.
Mbili, him being on that list is like whoa, like that's weird because of all the names.
And
like,
it's a weird call. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the pound for pound list. Usyk's not fighting on this card. Inoue's not fighting on this card. Crawford is fighting on this card. Bivol is not fighting on this card. Beterbiev's not fighting on this card. Bam Rodriguez, probably not.
Damn.
He's fighting in July. It's kind of quick. Canelo's ranked 7th. Benavidez is not fighting on this card. Junto Nakatani, yes, I believe he will fight on this card. Shakur.
That's a quick turnaround after the Zepeda fight where it's going to be a high contact fight in those hands. I don't know about those hands coming back that quick.
Tank Davis, no.
No.
Just go through the weight classes, like 140. No one really, not big fight at 140, 147.
Well, like Tio apparently, Tio imploded the work with Riyadh, so that's not happening.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid, but I wouldn't be shocked if he somehow ended up on it. I don't know. He could... There a lot of things can be forgiven, like Boots Ennis versus Virgil Ortiz.
Nice.
That could see that co-main event. Finally, 154. Do it.
What about Virgil and Murtaza Aliyev unification?
Virgil and anyone? Yeah, that intrigues me.
I think Boots Ortiz
intrigues me more. 160, like Janibek versus Adames. Like Janibek's pushing really hard for this.
That could be on the card, but I don't see that as co-main event level.
Everyone's trying to get on it. Tevin Farmer sent out a tweet. I want to be on this card. Michaela Mayer put out a tweet. Janibek put out a tweet. Adames. Everyone is now, like a Turkey put that tweet out there. Everyone replied, all the fighters, like, I want to get on. I get it. Shoot your shot. Will that happen?
Turkey literally said, you know how to find me. So it's an open call. So, of course,
going through all the weight classes, like Nakatani, I can see him on here fighting like a title shot or going up to 122.
Man, you should throw your hat in the mix. You could get in there. You could probably.
Should I fight Ellie Sekbak?
You could probably. Yeah, let's get a media members set up fight.
Ellie Sekbak. Reporting. Smack him around. yeah, so that's the latest with this whole hoopla. It's a big hoopla. And we're going to just beginning. It's only June 12th. And we are July, August, so 3 months away, almost to the weekend. The one last thing is that they're trying to get it at Allegiant Stadium where the Raiders play. Cool, really cool stadium right on the strip. Has not been a boxing match there. We're waiting for the right one. I believe this could do it, and I'd like it because it would lower a lot of the ticket sales. It would allow more fans to go. They do it at T-Mobile. I believe there's a concert there anyway. They do it at a smaller arena. Those tickets are going to be astronomical, and they're going to price out all the good fans. Only problem is there's a UNLV football game that Saturday, which they're going to have to throw money at once again. They're going to pay UNLV to not play that game or play it at the opponent, which I think is Idaho State. So, sorry, guys. You're going to Idaho that weekend, and we'll get you on the flip side. Yes, that's that. This weekend, let's talk about this fight before we say goodbye. Richardson Hitchens versus George Kambosos. Hitchens' first defense of the 140-pound title that he won in his last fight over Paro. It's Kambosos' first fight back in New York City since beating Teofimo. What's your level of care about this fight from 1 to 10?
I care because I know Hitchens, and I've been in the gym with him, sparred with him, watched him kind of come up. He's a New York guy. He's coming from the New York City Cops and Kids amateur program, which is very, very cool. So him fighting at home in the Garden, defending his title, is a big deal for us New Yorkers. So as a fellow New Yorker, I am excited. But in terms of the matchup itself, the fact that George Kambosos is getting another shot, failing upward throughout his entire career, you know, the guy is living off of that one epic night, an amazing performance against Teofimo Lopez, which I tip my hat to him. I was there that night. He fought beautifully. Really, really awesome fight. And he's a good dude. He's had a great career, but at this point, he's essentially just fodder for Hitchens. I don't see this fight being competitive.
No, I'm trying to pull up the odds right now. It's not going to be competitive. Hitchens is a minus 1,200 favorite.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's Kambosos a lot. That's a first defense kind of odds.
It is hard to get excited about this. The lead up has had a lot of trash talk because Hitchens can talk. He's from New York.
They both can talk.
I caught one clip that made me laugh, and it was like, is this what you guys are really, how you're promoting this fight? It was Kambosos saying, man, you would have got your ass kicked by Haney too.
You would get your ass kicked by the guys who kicked my ass.
So I was like, is that what we're doing? Like we both suck. Like, no, we're both like not, we both lose to Haney. What are we talking about here? I'm like, that's a strange angle.
Yeah, that's funny.
Kambosos, this is why I'm not super excited about this fight, because I'd rather see Hitchens fight one of the other champs. I'd rather see him fight someone a little more deserving. I'd rather see him fight someone that has a shot. And on the other side is Kambosos, right, you know, lost three of his last five fights. You could even, you know, you can make it four of his last five with the Maxi Hughes fight. Somehow ranked fifth by the IBF. The IBF is ridiculous. They ranked Kambosos fifth. Despite his last fight at 140, his first fight at 140 was a replacement fighter that, you know, was giving him fits, Kambosos, down the stretch. You know, it's just like a fight in Hitchens. I want to see him versus a better opponent versus a guy in Kambosos who doesn't really deserve the title shot. And we kind of have seen him lose. We've seen him get stopped. He's got stopped by Lomachenko, who had one foot out the door. Right. Not only that, like, Hitchens doesn't have the most fan-friendly style. I was looking at his numbers. 60%, plus 60% jab guy. 60% of his thrown punches are jabs. Which is, well, when you fight, like, Hitchens is super talented. Was he 5'10 with a huge reach? He's a nightmare. Doesn't hit hard, like you said, but, like, I don't know. Like, Hitchens is going to win. I'm wondering if Hitchens can get a stoppage. That's the value that I'm looking for here.
I don't think so, unless...
Plus 330 for that.
Unless he frustrates George so much that George literally retires from the sport in the ring and just like, all right, you know, I'm not winning this fight. I'm done. But I think George has got a lot of heart. I think he's very durable. He's got a lot of heart. When you talk so much, you have to at least back it up by being tough. Like, you can't talk, and then quit. So I don't think George really has that in him. Lomachenko, he was just completely outgunned, outclassed, out everything. So he gets stopped. And he gets stopped their body too. So I don't know if you got copy box. Has Hitchens ever thrown a body punch his entire career?
I don't know his body. I don't know his. Hold on. Do we have in here? Hitchens. throws 41 punches a round. He lands 7 jabs per round, which is good. Mm-hmm. He lands 44% of his power shots, but only 7.6 a round. Not good. Hitchens' opponents land only 19% of their shots. I don't see any. If he had good body numbers, they would be on this report.
He'd be on there. No, he doesn't. I'm saying that facetiously, but I also know that he doesn't throw body punches. So, I don't foresee the stoppage. I think it's gonna be Haney Kambosos 3. It's gonna be him on the end of the jab getting spearheaded all night long, trying to get in, being tenacious as he always is, being durable, getting beat up. Does Hitchens go out of pocket a little bit and throw the right hand and look to put some power punches together? Maybe down the stretch. But he won't need to. He knows what he is. He's a jabber. These guys have been going back and forth, but Hitchens really does that to bait you into being aggressive. That's not his style. He's not gonna just because he talked the game doesn't mean he's now gonna show up and try and knock you out. He's gonna go out there. He's gonna
jab. Will that creep into their minds?
No.
He's gonna jab.
Hitchens doesn't do that. He's gonna jab.
Got a great boxing name, Hitchens.
Hitchens. Richardson. Unreal. Hitchens.
That's the name of the game. Hit some chins. Will he get to the chin to Kambosos? I think, and from the betting standpoint, you're not going to bet Hitchens' money line because it's huge. Yeah. Hitchens by decision, maybe it's because it's minus 200. Why is that so low? Like, well, I thought it would be much better. Hitchens by stoppage, a TKO, which is, you know, a stop. It could be any type of stoppage, is plus 330. It's just, we've seen Kambosos get stopped recently against Lomachenko, who is a better offensive fighter than Hitchens, but not like someone that Lomachenko wasn't stopping anyone prior to that for the last couple of years. I don't know. I'm curious to see. I agree. Kambosos does have that tough guy mentality. He does have that whole, I'm going to go out on my shield. It just comes down to Hitchens, in my opinion. Will he, you know, step on the gas pedal? Will he see what's been going on in boxing? And he takes notice of that, Hitchens. Every time I watch an interview with him, he's talking about somebody else, whether it's Tank, Haney. See, if he's always just, he constantly feels like insecure or something, or like,
well, he doesn't have the profile yet.
Right. He always has this, like, he's on edge and he's always like, well, I did this, or look at me. And so maybe he'll do that. I don't think it would be smart because that would be him coming out of his game plan and coming out of what's going to make him win. Got a 74 inch reach. He's 5'10.
That's a lot for 140. 74, it's good. He's got 2 inches longer arms than me. He's the same height as me. And he's got 2 inches longer, and he's a jabber. He's a nightmare build to deal with. And you got Kambosos, who's coming up from 35, so he gives up all of his physical advantages for 35 in this fight. So he's basically just going to have to use tenacity to get by. And also, this is a really good point that Paulie Malignaggi made up when I spoke to him yesterday about this fight. Kambosos spent 24 rounds in the ring with Devin Haney. He didn't get any better in the second 12 than he did in the first 12. So he made no technical adjustment to deal with the jab. Do you think now a less fresh, more beat up version of Kambosos is going to be able to make a technical adjustment going into a higher weight class against a bigger guy? No.
It's going to be a domination. It's going to be an absolute domination. I put out on Twitter what fans want to see in this Canelo undercard. This one guy said Nakatani versus Cardenas.
Mm.
Abdullah versus Noakes.
Wrong weight class, first of all. So Nakatani's 22, Cardenas is 26.
Isn't Nakatani 18?
Or didn't he just move to 22 or no?
No.
No, that fight's really not happening. Cardenas is 26.
This just came across by Twitter. I didn't.
Oh no, is he 26 or 22? No, 22. Yes, 22. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, again, Nakatani 18, Cardenas 22. I guess, you know what? I take that back because then he can go up.
If Nakatani goes up, yeah, exactly.
Because he needs to go up the fight before he fights.
Yes, he's one fight.
I'm already pushing in a way up to 26 like everyone else is. I get so mad everybody pushes guys and I'm doing it myself. Damn it.
Well, because we want that Nakatani fight and in a way to happen. So this would help grease the skids a little bit. Put Nakatani, have him move up. Who else fighting this weekend? Our friend Nonito Donaire. Did you know that he's fighting?
I didn't know that. Of course, I know that. I talked to Nonito regularly. Of course, I know he's fighting. He looks good. I've seen the pictures. He's in shape.
Oh yeah, man, he's always in shape. The dude took his shirt off every chance he got in Orlando. We'll be eating dinner, shirt off. We'll be hanging out, shirt, rip it off and flex. He's ready. He's fighting Andres Campos. This is for the WBA interim title at 118. Donaire said, Manny Pacquiao, I see you coming back. Hold my beer. Boom. I'm 42. Campos, I think, was stopped in one of his recent fights. He's very susceptible to left hooks. As we know, Donaire has one of the best left hooks ever.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing. I was saying that yesterday, too. Is Nonito, even at his advanced age, which we know he can still box and he keeps himself fit, even if he couldn't fight, he can still punch. So he's always going to be in a fight because he can knock anybody out at any time. And the fact that he's still fighting at, what is he, at 118 still, is out of control. Like, it's crazy.
At 42.
He's 42 years old. He's still making, like, his original weight class, essentially.
I just don't want him to get hurt.
I know.
Love the guy. I like working with him in the booth. He's already established as a Hall of Famer. Doing this because he loves it. You know, he still has that fire, obviously, ripping his shirt off at dinner. And he thinks he can get a title shot. Like, WBA is back to their doing WBA things, giving interim
shots. He can definitely get a title shot. He wins this fight, especially by knockout. He steps right back into the
interim,
a big fight.
He's the interim, which is crazy. Like, yeah. So, good luck to our friend, Nonito Donaire. Come out with a win.
Also, all the way over there. Also one of the coolest guys in the sport for people who don't know him personally.
Yeah, he's wild. He's so much fun to hang out with. Good luck to him. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. If you're going to bet with your head, not over it. Use DraftKings. Enjoy the fights. We'll be back. We'll be back Monday, I believe. Sunday, Father's Day. I'm going to be heading back from Boston, going to the Yankees-Red Sox game.
Nice.
It's going to be 60 degrees in Boston and rainy.
Ooh.
60. Ooh. High of 60 in Boston. What is going on?
Ew. What is it in New York right now?
Right now, it's 87 degrees right now in New York City.
Good God. Beantown.
We're dropping
down to
60.
Up? Why?
And we have really good seats. Going with my dad. Everything's booked. I was like, let's just go. I was like, well, we're a hoodie. Like, we're still
bundle up,
like,
bud. Bundle up.
First row seats behind the plate. I'm like, we're going. Yeah, so we'll be back Monday with a new episode. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Chris, any final thoughts for our faithful listeners?
No, man. Just tune in. That's just
there you go.
Just tune in. Keep tuning. Tell your friends. Actually, we never say this. Like, comment, do all that. We never tell you guys to do that. Please do that. No. Just press the like button. I know we're supposed to tell you guys all the time, but please do that. Press the like button. Tell people about it. If you like the show, tell your friends. We need more listeners. So
yeah, always. Come to the best boxing show in the world. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.